Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 2nd of October, recording at 9:23 p.m., and that's still British summertime. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here on what's a pretty quiet day overall. China-related markets are still closed. The ASEAN sector's firm, with Thailand still pushing further into new high ground. The European stock markets seesawed a little bit and closed mostly lower. One of the exceptions was Spain, with a gain of 1%, as interest rates came down, long-dated government bond interest rates came down, and the Swiss market showed a modest gain, but the losses were very, very small, mostly well under half a percent, most under a quarter of a percent. In the Americas, Wall Street had been reasonably firm pre-market, then that faded shortly after the market opened. The indices declined, but then staged a late recovery. The Dow still closed down a quarter of a point. The S&P managed to gain less than one-tenth of a percent, up 0.2% for the NASDAQ here. So the S&P closed out at 0.75. Long-dated government bond prices, very quiet, mostly slightly higher. And with the U.S. dollar, that has eased a little bit on the U.S. dollar index, mostly because the euro is somewhat firmer at 129.17. In currencies, the Aussie dollar slipped back to 102.64 on a short-term interest rate cut of a quarter of a percent by the RBA. And precious metals, they seesawed a little bit. They were mostly firmer in early trading, but then gave up those gains, with the exception of palladium. And palladium is up $8 as I speak at $653.60. And that's by far the steadiest. Silver is currently down 29 cents, takes it back to 34.66, well within the range, mostly within the upper side of its range. Gold is up 15 cents at 17.75 and 45 cents. We had platinum a little bit lower here, but only $4, 1681 and a half. Industrial metals were mixed with small moves. Copper slightly firmer among that group, and crude oil a little bit lower, 111 and change for the Brent. The WTI has slipped down to 91.67, declines of approximately 80 cents on the WTI and I think nearly a dollar on the Brent. And in the grain and bean complex, soybeans were weaker, wheat weakened a little bit, corn virtually unchanged. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, markets are in a holding pattern overall. And they're in a holding pattern, and the higher, so most of them are in a holding pattern at the higher side of their overall ranges. Now, some of the firmest are the ASEAN group, but they are still mostly range bound, but these patterns look as if they're poised for upward breaks. Now, I think for those breaks to be maintained, should they occur, and to be meaningful, that we would also need to see China A shares, when they resume trading next week, we'd need to see a reasonable performance there. In other words, a follow-through of the rally that we saw in the last couple of days, last week. But as has so often been the case, that ASEAN sector remains very steady overall. Now, if we look at now also within the Asia Pacific sector, India remains steady, albeit it's in a range currently. Hong Kong closed right now, but it has been reasonably steady. The Australian market has been edging higher for several months now, and is up another 1% in here today. So all the gloom about the resources sector may well be a contrary indicator, in my opinion. More on that in a moment. The European stock markets, having had those terrific rallies where they outperform globally, albeit from very low levels, have seen a small retracement during a consolidation. Now, my feeling is that if they were able to hold half or preferably more of the gains off their lows, then that would bode well for the medium term. So far, they have held considerably more than that. I don't think there are any exceptions overall, but they are still in an easing and consolidation mode. And there is certainly some risk here, because we've seen the effectiveness of the ECB in terms of shoring up confidence and getting those interest rates down for the Southern European long-dated bond markets. But we're not all that much closer to a long-term solution. That's inevitable. It'll take a very, very long time. But the demonstrations, although they have not increased, to my knowledge, in the last few days, if anything, they've subsided. But that's more likely to grab headlines than any new magic from the ECB over the short term. And in the U.S., again, we're in this pause phase, a little bit of a loss of upside momentum. And I'm still of the view that we're likely to see a somewhat longer ranging and reaction phase. But my worst-case scenario remains that we see a correction of 5 to 10%. But I think it's more likely that we see something smaller than that, and then eventually followed by additional gains because of the tailwind that we get from all this quantitative easing. Now, long-dated government bond prices have had a good rally. So, while they're not in danger of, they're not in danger of breaking up into new high ground. In other words, the yields are not challenging their lows at the moment, but they aren't all that far off them. And with all the QE taking place, and with very slow global GDP growth and concerns over that growth, this story will probably run for longer. Read Bill Gross, though, his letter, which I'll be posting this evening. And I don't think, as I've said before, I don't think there's any grounds for complacency as far as these long-dated government bonds are concerned while all this QE goes on, because that, in my opinion, makes it even more likely that over the longer term that we do see those yields rise. Now, in terms of the U.S. dollar, I regard this as a soft currency overall. I think the Fed wants to keep it that way, just as the ECB wants to keep the euro reasonably soft. So those two are mostly range down, with the range bound, with the euro a little bit steadier than the greenback at the moment. I don't think we have enough. So I don't think we have sufficient grounds for a major fright to cause people to pile into the dollar overall, and I think it's most likely to weaken against some of the ASEAN currencies, such as the Singapore dollar. Precious metals are in this ranging consolidation phase that I've been discussing over the last few weeks. This represents, in my opinion, no more than the end of the first initial strong dynamic upward leg from those ranging bases that we saw back until the upward, well, really from sort of mid-May to mid-August, and thereafter the upward breaks occurred. I suspect that the precious metals, or at least gold, silver in particular, and also platinum will hold well over 50% of their gains. Palladium's been a little bit more volatile, but it's a very thin market. I think we'll see this ranging with an overall upward bias for the precious metals. Again, I think that the fundamentals remain extremely attractive for them, not least because of all the QE. Low interest rates around the world generally, and growing understandable concern about the medium to longer term purchasing power of the various fiat currencies. But the action in precious metals right now is choppy because we're still in a consolidation of the earlier strong gains. I expect higher levels between now and year end, and I expect significant overall gains over the next 15 months or so. And what else to mention here? Food prices, commodities generally, they are firmer. Then is probably good for these relatively soft economies overall. And I think that's going to continue because we've had the crop damage from the US and European, but particularly the US growing season. And we have some very tight supply situations there. And demand remains high, people need to eat, population continues to expand. So that remains a concern overall. But the big factor, if we distill everything down to what's the most important thing that's going on in the world here right now, and I think it's the QE still. And that is a tailwind for stock markets generally. Particularly the dividend aristocrat to autonomy type of companies. But I also think the industrial metals are in a support building phase. These cyclicals may take longer before we see significant upward breaks, but the support building activity is certainly evident on all the charts, both of the minor metals and also of the mining shares generally. And I think that's a wrap. All the best.